Barna did some research, and in the Barna research, he discovered that 15% of black church attendees experienced direct loss as a result of COVID-19, compared to 7% of white church attendees during the same period. And powerful article, because he talked about how the mental health issue is prevalent in the black church.
Welcome to Anchoring in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the start of a new series titled God's Antidote for Mental Health Issues. So let's begin with the first half of A Sound Mind, Part 1.
God's antidote for mental health issues is a sound mind. Barna did some research, and in the Barna research, he discovered that 15% of black church attendees experienced direct loss as a result of COVID-19, compared to 7% of white church attendees during the same period. And powerful article, because he talked about how the mental health issue is prevalent in the black church. And he even said that black leaders and church members are experiencing high rates of depression, burnout, and anxiety. High rates of depression, burnout, and anxiety. According to the Health and Human Service Office of Minority Health, African Americans are 20% more likely to experience serious mental health problems than the general population. Yet, African Americans are less likely to initiate treatment and more likely to end treatment prematurely. You know, and I think that that stems back to our community where, you know, people say, well, don't let anybody know your business. And, you know, we have kind of taken that and carried that philosophy over into today's society and culture, where we don't want anybody to know our business. And we think that, and hopefully as I preach this message today, that we will remove that stigma that that is in our community that says you got something wrong with you. You know, that you got some kind of serious mental issue going on, so you don't need to talk to anybody about it. And that's what's taken a lot of people down, is because they remain in a situation where they're not getting the treatment that they need. Another thing before I get into the message today, the topic of mental health is still often associated with a sense of shame among African Americans, making it hard for those experiencing distress to reach out for help, and for those who care about them to help connect them to that help. So, you know, that goes to support something that I was just saying. God said, God got the final word. He said that he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. What is a sound mind? As we look at that phrase and we see, I put up a couple translations. God's word interprets that phrase as good judgment. The CSB interprets it as sound judgment. As we look at the Greek word for it, it denotes, watch this now, it denotes careful, rational, and sensible thinking. That's what a sound mind is. Careful, rational, and sensible thinking. And so in other words, God did not give Timothy a spirit or mind filled with fear, but with careful, rational, sensible thinking. That is the mind that God has given to his children. Rational thinking. You know, I heard about a tractor trailer that got stuck beneath an underpass. And they brought people out to try to figure out how to remove the tractor trailer. And these men stood and they looked and they were doing all kind of calculations and trying to figure it out. And there was a little boy that came up and said, "What are you trying to do?" And they said, "Well, we're trying to get this tractor trailer from being stuck underneath this underpass." And he said, "Well, it seems like all you need to do is let some air out of the tires and you can just drive it right out." Yeah. Sensible, right? God has given us a mind that we can sit down and rationalize things. God has given us a mind to be able to work through situations. But when a person is dealing with a mental health issue, they are no longer able, in some sense, to work through those issues. I want to look at some people this morning, and we're going to go through this pretty quick. Some people this morning in the Bible who didn't have a sound mind, who didn't have the ability to think through their issue, who didn't have the ability to sit down and rationally move through whatever it is that they were dealing with, and it caused them to begin to deal with some mental health issues. So I'm just going to give you some snapshots, some portraits of some individuals. The first person that I want to look at is Ruth. And she dealt with bitterness. She lost her husband. She lost her two sons in the land of Moab. And as she came back to Israel, Ruth came with her. And so that should be Naomi up there. Yeah, it wasn't Ruth. That should be Naomi. All right. Naomi, and as she came back to Israel, she said, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty have dealt very bitterly with me." Now, to some degree, all of us deal with bitterness at one point in time. Now, after I run through this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you when that emotion that's there moves from just maybe a temporary thing that we're going through and it becomes a mental health issue. And so we get bitter. But if we don't handle our bitterness the right way, it can become a mental health issue. And so here she was, and this had affected her whole demeanor. "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because I'm bitter that there's something that," and she didn't say this, "but I no longer have a sound mind. That bitterness has occupied my mind." So we see that Naomi dealt with bitterness. Elijah, he dealt with depression. He had a contest out on Mount Baal, or Mount Carmel, where he came against the prophets of Baal. And as he came against them, he saw God single-handedly destroy all the prophets of Baal. And Elijah was on a high. And then he got word that Jezebel didn't like what he did. And Jezebel put an APB out on him. And he began to run. And then all of a sudden, as he was running, it says that, "But he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested of himself," a sound mind, right? A sound mind. That's what God has given us, the ability to be able to rationalize through things. "And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers.'" A sound mind. A sound mind would be able to sit down and scratch your head and say, "Well, look, now God just took care of about 600 or 700 false prophets. Surely he can take care of one lady. See, you no longer are able to think rationally or think biblically or think with faith. That you start thinking all other kind of ways, and the problem is, and I want to hurry up and get to it, but the problem is that, you know, sometimes, I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you. I think once or twice a week, depression comes on me, discouragement, depression. I'll be honest with you, right? I mean, you know, you be sitting there and that dark cloud will come over you. You know, you be dealing with something and, you know, you might be sitting there and say, I'm about to lose my mind up in here. But, you know, you can't stay in that place, right? See, if you stay there too long, then what's going to happen is going to turn into a mental health issue. And not only that, but I believe that if you stay there too long, and I don't believe that a Christian can be demon possessed. I don't believe that. But I think that you open the door for demonic oppression, suppression, depression. You open up a door for Satan to come in because you have not dealt with that thing. That's why you got to deal with stuff right away. You can't let it linger. You can't let it linger for days and weeks and months, because then that's when it becomes a mental health issue. Job went through a period where he lost his family. He lost his possessions. He even lost his health. And as Job lamented in chapter 3, his grief had become overwhelming. In verse 3, he wished that he had never been born. In verses 4 and 5, he wishes darkness to cover the day of his birth. In verses 11 and 12, he wished he would have died in his mother's womb. In verses 13 through 17, he wishes that he was stillborn. He wished that he had died in the womb. And then 21 through 22, he longed for death. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that a person that's thinking with a sound mind? No, no. And so, again, grief comes on all of us. And we're getting ready to teach a class in the Bible Institute in the fall on grief, because there's a lot of people that are dealing with grief. And we're going to look at grief from the biblical perspective. And we're going to talk about how to handle grief. And we're going to talk about how do you help children who are grieving. And how do you deal with victims of trauma and violence. You know, we're going to deal with all that kind of stuff as we talk about this subject of grief. But had Job not, and I tell people all the time, that God gave Job one of them Looney Tunes slaps, right? Because, you know, Job, even though he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He said, oh, I wish that God would come down. I wish that I could have an audience with him face to face. And then he goes through all this. And then in chapters 38 through 41, God shows up. And God says, were you there when I did this? Were you there when I did this? When you did it without? And then Job is like, he gets that Looney Tunes slap, right? And he comes and he says, I repent, right? So what was he doing, saints? He was coming back to a sound mind. For a moment, he just had got out of character. He had lost his ability to think through this situation. The psalmist, many people believe that the psalmist was dealing with panic attacks. And all of us, I don't know if you've ever had a panic attack, that's like one of the worst things in the world, right? I mean, sometimes, man, I'll be laying in bed in the middle of the night, and then I'll wake up and I'll try to think about something and I'll try to remember it. And man, it's not coming back, right? Now, this is me. Now, y'all might deal with this in other ways, so I'm just telling you about Pastor Glaze, right? Then all of a sudden, I was like, I'll be laying there, and I said, man, I got to get up. This thing is messing with my mind. And you get up and, okay, Lord, okay, got it. The Lord settles you. But you know, there are other people that may have panic attacks because, you know, maybe you can't catch your breath. you know, you can't perform a natural, you know, response in a normal way. And then you start panicking, right? And so a lot of people, those panic attacks, you know, go on and on and on. And then it becomes a mental health issue. Some people are dealing with depression. The psalmist, again, dealt with depression. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? The word cast down means to sink or depress. Disquieted means to moan or mourn. You know, that I'm cast down and now I'm groaning and I'm mourning. You know, this dark cloud that has come over me. And maybe some of you are dealing with depression at this time. Here goes one that affects many people, and that is weariness. Jeremiah had found out that there was a plot on his life, and he came to God and was crying out to God. And God says to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 12 and verse 5, he said, if you have run with the footmen, I preached a message on this not too long ago. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace wherein you trusted, they wearied you, how will you do in the swelling of the Jordan? What emotional issue was Jeremiah? He was dealing with weariness. You know, man, I'm just tired, right? Man, I'm just tired. You know, I remember I got a call here at the church when my mom was alive, and they said that, you know, she had, you know, they Access had brought her back, and they were having a problem getting her back to her apartment. And you know, so I left the church. I went over there, and by the time I got there, my uncle had come, and he had helped them get her up. And I remember getting there, and she was sitting in a chair, and she was disheveled. She was just disheveled. And I remember her saying to me, she said, I'm just tired. She said, I'm tired of being poked. I'm tired of being prodded. I'm tired of getting rides. She said, I'm just tired, right? And so weariness can set up on, maybe it's a situation that you're dealing with that you don't seem to be getting any relief from, and then you just get tired. And that becomes a mental, if you don't get a handle on it, it becomes a mental health issue. Some of us, and we didn't start out this way, but we got an anger issue. We got anger problems. You know, I look at a lot of young brothers, and there's a lot of young brothers, and they just are angry. You know, for whatever reason, they just are angry. And we see Jonah, who God called to go preach to Nineveh, and he got on a boat going to Tarshish. And God had to send a whale, or a great fish, let me put it that way, to swallow Jonah up and to send him to preach to Nineveh. Jonah, I think, he still didn't want to go, and the only reason he was gone is because God kind of forced him to go. And he gets there, he preaches, the king repents, the city repents, and then again, Jonah's, because he didn't deal, I don't think he dealt with that spirit of anger that was in his heart, you know, when he thought about the Ninevites and how that they brutalized their enemies, cut their heads off, skinned them alive. He thought, and he was angry. He said, I don't want to go there. And so he preaches, a great revival breaks out, and then Jonah goes up on the hillside to wait for God to bring judgment down on him. And notice a couple verses that I'll highlight here, that it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, again, this is gone beyond the temporary anger. This is an anger that's lingering now. This is an angering that's occupying your mind, your attention. Then the Lord said, dost thou do well to be angry? And God said unto Jonah, dost thou do well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. There's a whole lot of people today dealing with anger issues. The disciples were dealing with fear. You know, when the storm rose and Jesus was asleep on the boat and, you know, he woke up and came, and the Bible says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? A sound mind. A sound mind. You know what a sound mind says? I'm getting ready to help somebody, including Pastor Glaze. I'm getting ready to help somebody, including Pastor Glaze. A sound mind says, do you know who's sleeping in the bottom of the boat? That's what a sound mind says. Do you know who's sleeping in the bottom of the boat? But a fearful mind looks at the waves, looks at the storm, and begins to be afraid. And again, if you don't check it, man, if you just let that, if you let that spirit linger and you let that spirit continue on, it can become a mental health issue. And then finally, Jesus came to the house of Martha and Mary, and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, but Martha was busy serving. And in Luke chapter 10, verses 40 through 42, Martha, burdened with much serving, came unto him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me. And the Lord said to her in reply, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need only of one thing. Mary has chosen, because she has a sound mind, the better part, and that will not be taken from her. So again, at the time, Martha, you know, again, I'm not saying that she had a mental health issue at that point, but suppose that now she holds this in her spirit. Man, you know, and y'all do this, man. You know you do it. And you hold it in your spirit. Man, Jesus came and, you know, him and his old hungry disciples, and, you know, somebody had to feed them. And, you know, I was trying to get a meal for Jesus and his disciples. And here my sister was, she just sat there. You know, I don't know what, you know, and you know, that bothers you. That bothers you. And you can't let that go. Right? At some point, saints, you got to let it go. You can't continue to worry about it. Jesus said, you can't add any height to your stature or any life to your years by worrying about it, right? I mean, I could have these glasses here sitting on that pulpit, and I say, well, I want the glasses to be on my face. And I sit here, and I worry about how I'm going to get them there. How are these glasses going to get? And I worry about that. Now, either there's something I can do about it, or if I worry, I'm going to accomplish absolutely nothing. And you know what? This has helped me to realize that I'm not saying not be responsible, you know, not take care of your business. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when you worry about an issue,
thank you for joining us today on In Kirk and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of A Sound Mind, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Sound Mind, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Sound Mind, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Sound Mind, Part 1. From our series, God's Antidote for Mental Health Issues. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, God's Antidote for Mental Health Issues is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus 34, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at PO Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.